Yeah, there are some enhanced people came to me and they told me they are natural, and I was like, oh yeah, I believe that. I think I'm quite a lazy person. I never think that I want to train harder than the enhanced people. I say I want to train smarter than them, and I want to eat better than them. I'm a believer of you'll never be too in shape for a competition. Or I like to say, you know, you have to burn a lot of time to burn a lot of body fat.
Yeah.
So as a 10 days walking on the treadmill, you lose 10 kilo. Don't stop. Don't eat. The biggest missing piece of puzzle here is the knowledge. People just not equipped enough knowledge to learn how to progressively improve their body and their diet. Once you expose yourself with more knowledge and more natural athletes, then you will believe that is doable.
Can a natty athlete transform their body similar like an enhanced athlete? Today, my guest will be sharing his journey with regard to this topic. Before we begin, I'm in a mission to reduce 1% obesity in Malaysia, and you can help me to how. Just like and subscribe our video so more people can see our content. Welcome to Season 3, Episode 43. My guests for today have won multiple competitions. To name a few, Mr. Penang, Mr. Malaysia, and his respective category. And the most recent winning competition, he won Pro Card in WMBF Federation. Please welcome Chi Piao. What's up, bro? Thank you for coming. Susah nak dapat Chi Piao to come over because he's in Penang. Since this weekend, WMBF will be having their competition. So fortunately, I can meet up with him lah. So, bro, share a bit with the viewers your journey as an athlete from primary school. Like, where do you actually get started into sports?
First of all, thanks for having me. I didn't actually have any sports during the primary school.
Okay.
It's only when I go to a secondary school and then I join a karate club.
Okay.
So,
So for the karate club, your parents just hantar you to the place and learn, or you like, Dad, I just want to go to karate and learn to fight?
Oh, my father was really against me doing that. Oh. So I had to do it secretly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Then you enter the karate class. So when you enter the karate class for how many years?
I think it was 1 year of karate class. Then I stopped the school karate and I joined taekwondo outside of school for 3 years until I get my black belt. Hmm. And then I go back to karate another 2 years to get my black belt in karate.
Okay. Yeah. So after that, what happened?
After that, I think after I graduate from school, I do it for another 1 year or two. Mm-hmm. And then I stop.
Because?
Busy, not... Yeah, one thing is timing, and then... it gets kind of boring after that.
Right. Okay.
There's nothing to persuade it.
Okay, why I like to ask about the journey in your sports during high school, it's because to find a competitive athlete, that competitiveness have to exist at a very young age. And you mentioned that you already gotten your black belt. Within how long?
3 years, average 3 years for each discipline.
Right.
Yeah.
Just to share, I got my black tip. I can't remember how long it takes, but at a young age. Then I stopped because I have to circumcise. Then I stopped everything.
Okay.
Because of that only.
Black tip.
Black tip is the...
One level.
Yes, one level black made for black belt.
ITF or the DTF?
USTA. Yeah, it was from Taman Tun here.
Okay.
Long time ago. So anyway, not about me, it's about you. So then... From taekwondo, how you start go into bodybuilding?
Actually, my friend that brought me to taekwondo brought me to the gym.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how I got started.
Right. So you buta-buta follow ni lah.
Yes.
Okay, then?
And then for a year, we just go every Saturday. Mm-hmm. And then they stop going.
Right.
1 year later, and then I asked another friend to go with me. So we go about like 3 times a week, you know, like...
Wow.
Literally the bro size, Monday, Wednesday and Friday.
Yes.
You do like chest, back, and then some more chest and more chest and more chest.
Yeah. At what age when you first started going to the gym?
When I first started, I was 14.
Okay.
And then 15 is the time that I think I can say I don't miss a workout like 3 times a week.
Right.
Rarely miss a workout.
Right. Okay, now I'm trying to understand what motivates you to keep going at that age. Because most people will go to the gym when they want to get a partner, or they've been AJ, or something. Like, there must be a strong reason for them to keep going. What was your main reason that you say, first you go with a group of friends, then they stop, and after you pull up again, non-stop?
The funny thing is, like, you know, Chinese parents, right? My mom always tell me that, oh, your face is so ugly. You're ugly. So I was like, okay, if you have an ugly face, right, then better don't have an ugly body. So I said, okay, I got to keep going to the gym so that at least the body is okay or better than the face.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Chinese parents.
I understand. So meaning they say, what's ugly face? Yong soy.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. So, okay, anyway, put that aside. So, you consistently going to the gym for how many years? So, 14. And you first competed at the age of 18. So, that 4 years, okay, 4 years you were so consistent. Have you ever thought that, okay, one day I want to compete in bodybuilding?
No. That has never crossed my mind. It's until one day that my friend said he wants to compete, and right, then he asked me to go with him.
Right.
Yeah, just follow. I think the first competition, I didn't even put on
10. Okay.
Yeah, that's right. The first competition, I didn't have any tanning oil.
Masuk.
Just baby oil.
Wow. Okay. I want to summarize until here first. What I can understand about him, He would just join whenever the friend ajak. Let's go taekwondo, Jom. Let's go this, Jom. It's good to have a good friend like you join, Jeff.
It sums it up very well.
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. Okay. So we fast forward to your first bodybuilding competition during your junior. So first time you competed in junior, what happened? What did you achieve?
I placed fourth in Mr. Penang, which is the state competition.
Okay. Were you expecting any placing or...
No. I was just like, okay, just go... Just go with my friend.
Right.
I don't even think that I was competitive about bodybuilding at that point.
Right. Yeah. Okay, I want to add a bit. Numbers of our guests also, many of their stories similar like you.
Mm.
They started gym because the friend asked them. Then competition, their friend, some of them would say, I chaba you. Mm. I challenge you to compete because you go to the gym for 2 years already. What? That's one example. And there's another example that they go in a group, men's physique, another competition.
Yeah.
So for your case, it's a similar situation. Mm. Now we understand the beginning or the start. You started with your friend Ajak. And first competition, you already got fourth place. Then after that, what happened?
After the competition, I was like, oh.
The second year, right?
Yeah.
You compete again.
It just happened that a friend in the gym, he tend to like sponsor people to go to competition. He was the gym manager. He is the gym manager, team manager for that gym. So he offered me a sponsor. If not mistaken, it's about 100 or 200 ringgit in night. That was what? 2001, right, around that time, a month. So I was like, okay, since I'm getting paid,
right,
so I was just train and compete next year.
Okay, so share a bit that preparation journey as a junior.
Oh, wow. The first year...
I can imagine what is it, but share with the public.
The first year is zero, nothing. Just put on the swimming trunk and go on the stage. It's not even a posing trunk at that time. It's just the swimming arena. Trunk.
Right.
Red arena. You just put on the and go up to the stage. And then the second year, I happened to train with one guy that he's been competing for a few years.
Mm.
So I just like, okay, what time is he training? I'll just go and train with him.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, we'll go to his house and his wife, his girlfriend then cook. So I'll just eat whatever it is. Like, there's no calculation of protein or carbs. We did about 6 to 7 months of zero carbs.
Wow. I feel you. I know. I've done that before. So.
6 or 7 months of zero carbs. Diet. Yeah, okay. I don't know how I did it.
Right.
It's probably the young age thing that you can do it.
Right.
Yeah, I'll probably die now if I do that. Yeah.
Okay, then?
Then we stopped drinking for 3 days.
Mm.
And I think it's like no salt, no oil, and no
water.
No water for 3 days.
Right.
Yeah. That was 2002.
I did that before, so just to let you all know.
Talk about that is scary.
Scary. Yeah. And we think back again, like, ada ke orang buat macam tu lagi? Ada. There's still people doing that old school method.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to say that's really bad. That's your choice. If you choose to follow, they call it the otai, the old school's method. Even Arnold also encouraged people to do that last time. Cut everything and, you know. So anyway. So I feel you. I understand that part. Then after that?
After that, I won the state competition and then qualified to join national, which is Mr. Malaysia. Yeah. So I won the Mr. Malaysia Junior as well.
Mm.
For 2002.
Were you expecting that to happen?
No, not at all. The state one, I'll be like, okay, if the competitor is like last year, then I stand a good chance to win.
Right.
It's very straightforward. I was like, oh, if someone good come along, then no. If not, then I should win.
Right.
Then I wasn't expecting anything in Mr. Malaysia because I've never been.
Right. Okay. So everybody has their story. For him, his story was like that. Doesn't seem that he's forcing himself to compete nor winning a competition. It just happened.
Yeah.
Right? It just happened. Like, I masuk lah, tengok what happened. Menang already.
Right? No plan.
Okay. After winning the Mr. Malaysia Junior, right?
Yes.
Then after that, what did you do?
The next year? The next year was still junior.
Okay.
So 2003, I was still junior. So going into 2003, then I have a lot more pressure to like, okay.
Must maintain.
Yes, must maintain.
Right.
Yep. Then you just train and pretty much train and dieted the same. But I think 2003, I starting to eat a little bit more protein, more meat. But still very little. I remember my first competition weight that I won Mr. Malaysia, I was about 68.
What's your height?
The last measured was 169 for WNBF.
Right.
But after that, I measured is 170.
Right.
So probably the food that got thinner after you dehydrated and cutting everything.
Right. But still 68 kilo. Nampak kurus lah.
Oh yeah, right. The waist was like 26 inches.
Right.
Yeah. Then the next year, 2003, I got up to 71 or 71 kilo. Correct.
So junior category tak ada category kan? It's just below 70 or 70 junior, right?
Yes. That time they didn't pick an overall for junior. So you either the above 70 winner or below 70 winner.
Okay. Yeah. So the second year you won also?
Yes.
Okay, so 2 years in a row, menang. Okay. So back to back, you won the competition. For sure, it boosts up your motivation. For someone aged 18.
No.
No,
what? That didn't happen. So I know going into Mr. Malaysia, I know that, okay, next year you're going into the open, right?
Right.
So you walk to the backstage, you start to look, and then I was like, okay, there's no chance to win or place anything in Mr. Malaysia or Mr. Penang.
Right.
So what, I was like, okay, what about it?
Why is that? Why were you thinking that way?
They were like big and ripped,
right,
and lean, and it's like they have legs. Those legs are huge.
Okay. Yeah. So since you already said that, what do you do after that? So you competed 2 years, then you won, then what?
And then I joined a commercial gym as a trainer.
Okay.
And I think somewhat I was still training. I was still like eating okay. It's just that I don't think I put bodybuilding as a priority of my life.
Understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just to let you all know, many people, including me, okay, I used to compete as a bodybuilder also, and I was living in a delusional world of my own, which means I compete bodybuilding, I have to make everything in bodybuilding. Means money in bodybuilding, client from bodybuilding, because that was my world. But when I stepped out because of a working purpose, because of my client. Majority of my client are not bodybuilder, even though we do have athlete. Everything changed. So I understand what he's trying to say here, whereby when you don't put bodybuilding as priority, I'm not saying it's a bad thing though. When you put bodybuilding as priority, you could makan banyak, you could train 5 days a week. There's so many things that you have to sacrifice, right? So you choose that. You choose that, you focus on building your career in the commercial gym. Share that journey. Because I understand for 10 years, you did not compete at all, right?
I was still competing after 2003. It's just that I didn't prioritize training and diet. I mean, I still train and eat decently, but
right.
Now we talk about it, I wasn't like focusing on that is the time that I want to compete and I have to show up in what condition or what kind of way.
Right.
I was just like doing it mindlessly. I was just like eat and train and then competition time comes and just go and compete.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And for the career part, you know, you go into the commercial gym, cold calls, get clients. Target, right. Chase the money, chase the numbers, teach classes, aerobic classes.
Okay, we pause there. So you do conduct body combat also again?
I have one that you'll never guess what I conduct. I have my first license.
It's really?
It's body balance.
Body balance, it's not...
It's like, not yoga, it's but not it, yoga. It's a last meals... Yoga.
Something like Pilates, right?
No, they have Qigong, yoga, and Pilates.
Oh, wow.
They put it together. Yeah, okay. That's my first license.
I see.
Then I took up body pump, and then last is body combat.
Okay, so that one makes sense, lah. Share that journey. Like, you were competing. You weren't focusing like, I have to train 5 days a week. Okay, I understand. Your mindset is not competitive bodybuilder mindset. It's more on when got competition, I just participate. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That journey of you focusing on building your career, at the same time, you compete. Was it difficult? Because to be on stage, you have to maintain a very low body fat. How do you balance that career? Like, for those who don't know, body pump class is not as easy as just walking on the treadmill. It's damn tiring. It's like kickboxing class. Okay. So how do you balance your career, which conducting classes and training for competition?
I would say I prioritize my career and I'll just do whatever that is convenient for me for bodybuilding. Yeah, so I will not be like getting into like super lean condition just because I want to compete.
You know,
because I think still you have to pay attention to your daily job.
Of course.
Yeah. So I'm focusing a lot more on being able to perform for those classes and train clients.
Okay.
Rather than get into very strict diet for competition.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so before you compete for WMBF, that 10 years gap, right? How many competitions that you participate?
Before that, right? Before the 10 years break. I roughly calculated since junior to the year I stopped, I actually competed 14 years.
Wow.
So I still continue competing after my junior.
Okay.
I think I played second, third. For 3 or 4 years, then I started winning the light heavyweight for 7 years straight.
Right.
Yeah, in Mr.
Penang.
Mr. Penang, yes.
Okay. How do you balance that? Because people say, you know, if you nak jadi champion, you have to go all out. Okay, I respect that. Everybody say it. All out means you have to do cardio, you have to cut this, cut that. Like, it sounds like they die, bodybuilding first to get in that condition or to win. You tell me, it sounds like, I have to conduct training. Like, okay, career is important. Tapi 7 years in a row, you menang. About 7 years in a row.
It is 7 years.
It is 7 years in a row, menang. Can like, So tell us, people want to know, people that might want to expose yourself into competitive bodybuilding or men's physique. They want to know also, they want to balance their life, to have a career. At the same time also, they can compete.
I have this mindset that, you know, I want to train as smart as I can. At that time, I wasn't really paying much attention on diet.
Okay.
So it's like quite fascinating with training and what the movement can do to your body.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, training is my main focus.
Okay.
To get the movement right, to unit control and all this. And try to train as smart as I can. So and I competed in the category that is 85 kilos and above.
Right.
So at that time, it's not competitive at all. I would say I would say it's not very competitive.
Not many people compete in that category. Yeah. That's why.
Three to five people most of the years. Yeah, in the states. State competition, state level.
Okay, but still, how do you balance? Because the way how you answer...
Probably I just train because you work in the gym, right?
Okay.
So there's a time that I'll work out.
Right.
Because you're already in the gym. So my workout time is always the same time.
Okay.
And I was a skinny kid, so even I put on some fat or weight, I'll still
get in shape.
Relatively lean.
Right.
Yeah.
True. And okay. Describe your then. That period when you won 7 years in a row and you focus on your career. How was your eating habit and how was your training?
Very straightforward bro science.
Okay.
Bro science split, you know, chest day, back day, shoulder day, arms day.
Right.
Twice or three times. I mean, 2 to 3 weeks, once leg day.
Right.
You know, train legs every week.
Right.
for the very obvious reason, lazy. Yeah, that's the training. And the diet, I just eat very high protein diet.
Okay.
It's still the bro size thing that, you know, 1 gram protein per pound body weight.
Right.
To 1.5 gram.
Right.
Per pound body weight.
Mm.
So that, and after all those meat, I don't take any powder.
Okay.
So after all those meat, I literally are eating very little carbs and vegetables. So it's very, very high protein diet.
So I assume this is by choice, right? Not because you want to compete.
Part B is because I want to compete. And the biggest part I always think is like, okay, I'm a personal trainer. So at least I want to look like a personal trainer.
Understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so do you have any difference between going towards the competition, eating habit or eating plan versus when there's no competition? Or you eat the same also?
Eat the same.
Okay, now I understand.
We'll maybe do some, do some water and sodium manipulation. Okay.
How often do you binge? How often do you rojak, makan, or cheat?
For the longest time, I don't.
Understand.
Until very late of that part of the competitive career that I starting to eat hawker food and all.
Right.
Yeah, it has to do with my upbringing.
Yeah.
We just eat the normal food and you don't spend on eating out a lot.
Understand.
Yeah.
Mostly your home food lah, whatever your parents cook, right? Okay, now we can understand. This is what I want to understand. Because the way how you describe sounds like, oh, this is like dieting for competition, but the way you describe is like nothing. Meaning, you've been implementing something as a lifestyle already.
Yeah.
Assuming.
I suppose, yeah.
Okay, this is out of topic a bit. Like, assuming that I'm a sedentary, fat person that approach him. Hey bro, I like your body, bro. I want you to help me to train like you, bro. Then if he tells me to try to follow his lifestyle, confirm I fail. One, I don't go to the gym. Second, I only buy out food outside, which is Burger, KFC, McDonald's. For sure, I say, hey, I don't want to be like you because you're competing. But he will tell me that, hey, no, this is the normal food for me. For him lah, it's normal, right? For general public, it's not normal. That's what I was trying to understand. Like, why it sounds so easy for you? Means you already implemented as a lifestyle already. Okay, I understand. So people out there, general people that have healthy choices of food during their upbringing, whatever is doing is very easy. I do have friends that only eat rice and macam kaifan, the chicken rice and economy rice. They look very lean.
Yeah.
Versus another friend, parents always buy everything.
You are what you eat.
Yeah. Then they're big size. So I'm like, okay, now I understand why is it so easy for him? Understand. Okay, so we understand about you compete junior, then that within that 10 years you still compete, and you will not focus 100% in bodybuilding yet. You still have that lifestyle, like a bodybuilder.
I would say it's a personal trainer lifestyle.
Yeah, but we do know personal trainer, they where there's no competition, they balloon up, right or wrong. But for you, you have a choice. Mm. You maintain that lifestyle, lah. Okay, understand. Then you took 10 years break from competing.
I wouldn't say it's a break. At one point, I was like, okay, I'm done competing as a bodybuilder.
Okay, tell us about that. Because I'm in that zone also. How do you decide? Like, you know what? Dala cukup lah. I don't want.
Yeah, after 7 years of winning the states competition, mm-hmm. you'll be like, okay, there's no other federation at that time.
Yeah.
So, I'll be like, okay, I don't think I want to do what is necessary to progress further in bodybuilding.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm not willing to get enhanced.
Mm.
I just think that, you know, that is not what I want. Mm. And then I don't see myself putting in so much time, work, and effort into winning a bodybuilding competition.
I understand. Okay.
So I'm only willing to do so much.
Right.
So those that whatever I was doing right. is not enough to win, then I'll be like, okay.
Okay.
I will stop competing, but I will want to still maintain a look so that I look fit and look like a personal trainer.
I understand. Okay. So that was the gap lah.
Mm.
Still maintain healthy lifestyle. See, when you have a lifestyle again, when you stop whatever competition, you still maintain. Because people always ask, how do you maintain? It's to build a lifestyle. If you have a very bad lifestyle, it's difficult to...
Just keep doing what is right and stop thinking. Just day in and day out. Just like you breathe, right? You don't
right,
think,
right.
you know, just go to the gym, just eat your chicken breast, eat your broccoli. Yeah, that's much it.
But since you bring up, but we have many friends that goes to the gym for 5 years, still looks the same. Right, Rob?
Yes.
They go to the same treadmill, they do the same routine, but they didn't lose any weight. Then they say probably it's because of genetic or hormone. Can I think they choose the wrong food lah. Can we choose the wrong food?
Should get a trainer.
True. If you're in Penang, you're based in Penang, right?
I'm not doing so much personal training anymore.
Oh, okay.
In KL, look for.
Oh, if you need assistant. Okay, anyway, next question. When do you plan to compete for the WMBF? When do you decide it?
Decided.
Because you competed last year.
Yes.
When you like, you know what? I have to try.
I think sometimes around the COVID. So I have a...
2020? Okay.
Yeah, I was like scrolling through... We were locked in, right? So I was scrolling through social media and YouTube. And then I see that WMBF is picking up in Taiwan.
Mm.
So I figured, you know, someone is probably going to bring it to either at least Singapore, or if not Malaysia. I wasn't hoping for Malaysia. I was like, probably Singaporean or Singapore people, they'll have one. So it's somewhere nearby.
Mm.
I can maybe get in shape,
right?
Get in a better shape and compete in WMBF.
Mm.
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm not willing to put in so much everything into competitive bodybuilding. It's not my focus and it's not going to be where my career is heading.
Okay, I understand. How long does it take you to prepare for WMBF?
COVID time, I wasn't preparing, but I was like, at least I think I somewhat find a goal as I see, okay, there might be a competition, national competition that is coming the way. So I was like, sort of like clean up my diet a little bit, but I still eat a lot of chocolate and cake during the COVID time because we are probably all stressed. Yeah, so
of course.
I start to clean up the diet a little bit, just like get back to eating healthier. And I was getting old.
Right.
Yeah, so it was like, in my late 30s, I was like, once I hit 40, you know, I might not want to eat like this.
Right.
Yeah. So I find a reason and a goal. So I clean up the diet and I start to train a little bit better.
Right.
Yeah. Motivations. Finally, I found some goal and motivation.
Understand.
Yeah.
So the competition was sometime in October, right?
Last year, 2023.
Okay. So October. How many weeks before the comp you're already in shape? Like, you know, okay, you know what? I look good enough to be on stage.
I'm a believer of you'll never be too in shape for a competition.
Okay.
Yeah. I started preparing at the beginning of the year.
Mm.
So around January.
So about 9 months lah.
Yeah. But my every time I go to the competition, when I say I prep, it's not where I start cutting. I'm starting to eat more. I started to eat higher protein, more carbs to like, I said, okay, it's a bodybuilding competition.
Right.
You want to be big.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. So I was like, I'll like bulk up. And then I think 20 weeks out, I start cutting.
Cutting. Share the journey, that 20 weeks. How was your diet plan? How does it look like?
Very, very simple.
Mm.
I figured I have about 10 kilograms of fats to burn to get into contest shape. So that's like 70,000.
Yeah.
Per kilogram is like 7,700 calorie.
Correct.
So I was like, well, that's 77,000 calorie to burn in 20 weeks.
Right.
So I calculated my calorie deficit and the calories that I have to, the step that I have to walk every day.
Right.
So to burn off that 10 kilograms of excess calorie.
Right. And food-wise?
Food-wise, relatively clean. So make sure the standard chicken, broccoli, white rice, eggs, and beef.
Right.
Yeah, those are my staple food.
Okay.
And then I try to keep the calorie count correct. So okay. I still binge. I still binge a little bit sweets, chocolate here and there.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So can I say that during that prep, you still have some indulgence until the competition? Or only during the off-season?
Yes, I still have. I wouldn't say indulgence. It's just the failed diet plan.
Right.
I binge.
This week, tak boleh lah. I have to have chocolate cake.
Yes.
Okay, that must be stress from work. Usually. Mm. Can. Yeah. That's one of the reasons why I stop competing.
Mm, true.
When you have too much work and you want to train, it's so difficult. Tak apalah, you reward yourself first. Then later you train.
Yeah, okay. Then you regret.
Then you regret, yeah. Okay. And he competed for WMBF. He won his division, three medals, right?
Yeah, three gold medals.
Your division?
Master bodybuilding.
Right.
Master men's physique.
Right.
And open bodybuilding.
Ja, master means above 40?
Above 40.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Malaysia ada ke? Oh, no, don't have. Hey, Malaysia ada.
Yes, ada master above 45.
Above 45.
Yes.
That's why I'm like, takkan you 45
though?
No, right? So above 40 lah kan?
It's above 40 for the WMBF.
Okay. So he won three medals and the overall.
Mm.
And you got the pro card.
Yes, the pro card.
The pro card. So just to let you know, the gentleman next to me is a pro natural bodybuilder. And this is where we want to discuss also. Can a natty athlete look similar like an enhanced athlete? Similar mean we don't put the heavy, super heavyweight lah. Like Ronnie Coleman tu memang impossible. In general, it's impossible. Like, okay, siapa lah?
Frank Zane?
Frank Zane lah. For those tak tahu, Frank Zane during 80s, 90s, people call him Greek God physique or something like that. Kan?
Men's physique.
Men's physique body.
They missed the Olympia for 3 years.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, can a natty athlete look similar like Frank Zane?
Yes,
of course. So, enlighten the viewers and listener, because they would think like, no. For you to get six pack, you have to take something or to be enhanced. So, enlighten them why being natty can achieve.
I see a lot of people is getting too impatient. That's number one. Because of social media and the unrealistic expectation.
Oh wait, describe that unrealistic expectation.
I would say that if you want to achieve a decent, like, you know, those underwear model body.
Okay.
That's like what most general public will want, right?
Of course.
If you are a very lean guy, you can probably take 1 to 2 years of good diet and training to achieve that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you have some power to shed, so you need to lose some weight, you probably, I think it's quite fair to say that you need a 3 years of like proper, I mean like proper training and diet. Not just go to the gym and not understanding what you do.
Right.
Yeah, if you train very properly, I think 3 years with the right guidance and diet training, you can achieve a very, very good body.
Okay. Like
for very, very good for general public.
Right, right.
Not really stage ready.
Okay. This is where the listener and reviewer will say, but you took only 2 years only, what? How can you menang junior? Let me answer that part. He dah memang kurus.
Right.
He dah memang kurus. So for him to get in shape, he just build a bit muscle.
Mm.
Can. for general public, which we know majority people are big size, you have to do extra work. And so that's why in advance you tell 2 to 3 years. It's because of that. It's not impossible. I do know people personally, one of them, my client, he was 120. It took him 9 months during COVID. I've never met him. 9 months from 22% body fat went to 9%, which I also surprised. Everything by himself. We only spoke via Zoom only. It's because it's hard work. So in general, what he's trying to say is, kalau orang tu berbadan besar, for sure you take longer time lah. Okay, so I understand that part you mentioned about impatient. Okay. Other than that,
I mean, if you say that you want to achieve it in 1 to 2 years' time, get a very good trainer.
Right.
Get a very good trainer and follow the plan accordingly.
Totally agree.
Yes. I like to say, you know, you have to burn a lot of time to burn a lot of body fat.
Yes. Betul juga.
Yep. If you're on a treadmill walking, it's about 350 calorie 1 hour. So I have 200. I had 220 hours to burn last year. So imagine 200. That's like 10 day non-stop walking on the treadmill.
That's a simple math.
A very straightforward maths, right? So I calculated that and then included the calorie deficit. So as a 10 days walking on the treadmill, you lose 10 kilo. Don't stop. Don't eat.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you just give me an example whereby if in future people like, if I sign up 20 session, when 20 days can or not get body like you?
Walk non-stop. Non-stop. Don't stop. Yeah. Don't eat. Yeah. Don't drink water.
Then people are like, what the hell? Okay, understand?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one of the reasons. It's achievable. However, it requires time and consistency. Let's say a natty athlete or whoever who's natty wants to expose himself in competitive sports, like men's physique, bodybuilding, men's model. Is it compulsory for them to enhance?
I think seeing is believing. You go and have a look in the WNBF competition and see what people already achieve.
Right.
Those that who are stepping on the stage, then you will notice that, wow, okay, that is doable.
Yeah.
Because there are people showing you they are already doing it.
Right, true.
Yeah. Well, training is come back to the same thing. The training, the diet, you know. Everyone knows the formula.
Yeah.
Probably they are just not doing it.
Yeah. Or maybe not being consistent. I'm just going to touch one thing. Back in Aussie, 2010-2013, I was there. I competed in IMBA over there. So when I won the overall, I was lucky enough. I was the shortest one. I'm the only Asian. So I look very stocky and chunky lah. Friends from Malaysia say, oh, how can you enhance and win competition in natural?
Okay.
But friends in Australia, they respect. They see it's because it's very doable. To name a few, like Aaron Curtis and Eddie Ong, this natty athlete. In the beginning also, I thought when I first arrived in Australia, impossible, they are natural. But when I've experienced that and I see how they progress also, like, yeah, this is very doable. Only it requires time.
I would say time definitely, and the biggest missing piece of puzzle here is the knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah, people just not equipped enough knowledge to learn how to progressively improve their body and their diet.
Agree.
Yeah, that's why when I first started, I was like, okay, if I never gonna go enhance, then I will have to train smarter. I think I'm quite a lazy person. I never think that I want to train harder than the enhanced people. I say I want to train smarter than them, and I want to eat better than them.
Right.
Yeah. So I was like, I think once you expose yourself with more knowledge and more natural athletes, then you will believe that it's doable.
Okay.
Yeah, there are some enhanced people came to me and they told me they are natural, and I was like, oh yeah, I believe that. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, that seems doable. So
right.
I don't know. Yeah, I tend to quite naively believe people when they tell me they are enhanced.
Right.
I mean, they are natural. I'll be like, oh, okay, you are natural. Yeah, good.
Nice. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for enlightening us regarding about looking similar, because people need to know, especially from you. Now, what's next for you?
next?
You already got your pro card. When is the next competition? What do you plan for future?
Next year, at least 1 to 2 pro show.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting into an off season, improve my legs.
Right.
Yeah, my legs was like really bad last year. It's an embarrassment to have those legs to be on the stage.
Just I saw the photo. It's just chunky.
Yeah.
It's not separated. Yeah.
Because I never thought that I'm ever going to compete again. If you don't compete, why train your legs?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Quite true.
Yeah.
I haven't trained my legs.
You can't really fit into those jeans. Right. You know, you want to have skinny jeans.
Right, right.
To look nice. Yeah. And legs is just too difficult. So I want to improve my legs and get into at least 1 to 2 pro show next year.
I see.
Yeah. Hopefully compete in the world championship in US.
Nice.
Now I said it, I have to do it.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so said it on the internet so that, you know, I'm forced to do it.
And then people will start Googling, okay, how does this guy look like? Or if he's going to compete next year, okay, we're going to focus at him for sure.
And I'm going to get a coach to coach me to do it.
Nice. You have to have someone to push you. Okay, cool. So having said that, okay, how do people reach you? Let's say they want to ask question or maybe they need your help. How do they get in touch with you?
Instagram.
Okay.
Chipiao_Uni.
Right. So for those of you guys planning to compete, maybe you need someone to help you or probably need some inspiration, follow him. And I'm very sure he will reply because he even replied my message. Thank you for that.
I have to reply your message.
Thank you for that. And I wish you all the best for your next comp. And I'll drop by. This weekend will be WMBF show here in KL. So I'll drop by. He'll be the guest poser.
Yes.
And hopefully in future, we'll see you again as the world number one. This is a pro athlete. Good. All right. Having said that, thank you very much. And I'll see you guys again in the next episode. Peace out.